Good evening, everyone. So good to see everyone out this evening. It's been a beautiful day. Beautiful weather outside. It's nice to have the doors open. We have a new visitor this evening. There's this giant fly that's buzzing around in here, so hopefully it won't distract me and it'll keep everybody awake this evening. So I want us to look at the blessings of the obedient this evening. And before we get into the lesson, I want to thank David for printing off this song and leading us in this song. I want to look at a couple other songs along those lines before we get into our text. And one of the things too, so this lesson, I've done several from Deuteronomy lately, and I just want to mention this because if I don't now, I'll forget later. But Dale, in our memory packet, in the back of the book, and on page 13, it starts with the survey of the Old Testament. We aren't memorizing these, but this is just to help with our Bible knowledge. So you go down and you look. It has Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy is the retelling of the law before Israel enters the promised land, the death of all men of war who came out of Egypt. So this is a little summary of all of the books in the Bible. So there shall be showers of blessing. There's another song we sing, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. Tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing. Call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. Here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy help I've come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He, to rescue me from danger, interposed his precious blood. Oh, to grace how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Hear my heart, O take and seal it for thy courts above. There's another one we sing, When Upon Life's Billows. When upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly, and you will be singing as the days go by. So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged. God is over all. Count your many blessings, angels will attend, help and comfort give you to your journey's end. Count your many blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. Count your many blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. And one last one I want to mention a few lines from. It talks about blessings in a little different way, but there is sunshine in my soul. There's sunshine in my soul today, more glorious and bright than glows in any earthly sky, for Jesus is my light. There's music in my soul today, a carol to my King, and Jesus listening can hear the songs I cannot sing. There's gladness in my soul today, and hope and praise and love, for blessings which he gives me now, for joys laid up above. So you see, there's sunshine in my soul today, there's music in my soul today, there's gladness in my soul today. Oh, there's sunshine, blessed sunshine, while the peaceful, happy moments roll. When Jesus shows his smiling face, there is sunshine in my soul. There are so many things in life that get us down. Discouragements, setbacks, disappointments. But we learn throughout God's Word, all the way from back in the Old Testament, that obedience is always connected with blessings, and disobedience is always connected with the curse. In Deuteronomy chapter 27, there are the curses pronounced from Mount Ebal. And in chapter 27 and verse 26, "Cursed is the one who does not confirm all the words of this law by observing them, and all the people shall say amen." So the curses were read. People had to say amen, acknowledging what was going to happen. Blessings and curses. And this is nothing new. In Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 15, "See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil." In Deuteronomy 30, 19, "I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death, and blessings and cursings. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live." You see, basically, our life is up to what we choose it to be. Our life is either going to be filled with blessings or curses. And that is not to say, as there is this religion of health, wealth, and prosperity, that is not to say that we are not going to have disappointments and discouragements and setbacks, and our health is going to decline, and we may lose our money, because that's just part of the world that we live in. But in spite of that, in spite of all of those things, if we are obedient to God, He is going to bless us. So let's look in Deuteronomy 28, and we'll begin at verse 1. "Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all His commandments which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth." So notice in verse 1, this is conditional. If you obey, and He doesn't just say if you obey, He says if you diligently obey. He wants us to obey from our heart, with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. If you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God and observe carefully all His commandments, which I command you today, the Lord will set you high above all nations, and all these blessings shall come upon you. And they aren't just going to come upon you in verse 2. They're going to overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Friends, that should give us great comfort. That should give us great encouragement. That should give us great confidence as we start this week. "Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed you shall be in the country." Why is He mentioning the city and the country? We're going to be blessed everywhere. "Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, the offspring of your flocks. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl." So we're going to have blessings outside and inside. Verse 6, "Blessed shall you be when you come in. Blessed you shall be when you go out." We're going to have blessings coming and going if we are obedient to the commandments of God. Verse 7, "The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways." The Lord's going to send them running. They're going to scatter. Verse 8, "The Lord will command the blessing on you in your storehouses and in all to which you set your hand, and He will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to Himself, just as He has sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in His ways." So notice, this is a tremendous promise, but there's work involved in our part, just as God gave them the promised land. He will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving to you. He gave them the land, but they still had to go in and work and conquer it. But it was given to them. It was a sure thing. The Lord will establish you as a holy people, and he wants us to himself. He doesn't want to share us with Satan. He wants us for himself. Just as he has sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways, then all the peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. And the Lord will grant you plenty of goods in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, and in the produce of your ground, in the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open to you his good treasure. What is that good treasure that he's opening? He goes on to say the heavens, to give rain to your land in its season. That's the showers of blessing, and to bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. Those showers of blessings, when he opens up the heaven to give rain to the land, that's just a glimpse of the showers of blessings that he gives to us spiritually. He talks about you're going to be lending. You're not going to be a borrower. He's going to bless them. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above only and not beneath, if you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them. So you shall not turn aside from any of the words which I command you this day, to the right or the left, to go after other gods to serve them. As we talked about this morning, he wants us to walk down that path, that narrow path. We don't turn to the right, we don't turn to the left, we don't get distracted, we walk down that path. So, the blessings of the obedient, what are they? We read through and noticed a lot of them. I want to go back through and bring out and classify them a little bit. We notice we have material comforts. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. A blessed basket, like the widow's curse, is one that is never entirely empty, or the widow's cruse. Your bread and water shall be sure. The little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of the many wicked. We are not, this does not mean that we're going to be financially rich, but he is going to bless us with what we need. He's going to bless us with what we need. We may want a lot of money, we may want a lot of those things, and that may be the undoing of us. He is going to give us what we need, when we need it, and teach us to rely on him for giving those things to us. The little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. Why is that? The wicked man is going to perish. He's not following after God. He's not following that path. So we see that we have the blessings of material comforts. We see that we have the blessing of unfailing protection. The Lord shall cause thine enemies to be smitten before thy face. The Lord your God, he it is that fights for you as he hath promised. When I was trying to find illustrations for these, and a lot of them, when I find an illustration, I keep it and file it away under a certain topic. But this one of Daniel in the lion's den, I thought was fitting for this. You know, God is going to protect us. He's going to protect us no matter what it is. And that is not to say that we might not lose our life, but he is going to protect us and keep us safe, because again, our life is transitory. We're pilgrims here, just passing through this land, and our way of escape may be through death. our way of escape may be through death. But when enemies, the Lord shall cause thine enemies to be smitten before thy face. Here, Moses is saying that your enemies are going to be put down. And so many times we are afraid of our enemies. We make them giants in our mind when they are nothing to God. We are afraid that our enemies are in control. Friends, our enemies are not in control. God is in control. We need to be part of His kingdom. We need to be thankful that He is our King. We need to be thankful of the blessings that He shows us and the unfailing protection. He's going to protect His people. He's going to protect His people. Unfailing protection. Again, it may be from physical harm. You think of a mother and a child. That little child, something can scare that child, and that child goes to its mother's arms or mother's arms, and there's not a care in the world. That's safe in the arms of the mother. We sing the song, Safe in the Arms of Jesus. When we are in the arms of Jesus, we do not need to worry. I mentioned on our trip to Tennessee last month, and I visited the one aunt from my mother's sister that I have left. And she's in the nursing home, and she, you know, knew some things. She didn't know some things, but her little words of wisdom. And she said, when life gets tough, you just wrap your arms around Jesus and you hang on. And she must have said that half a dozen times. Life gets rough, you just hang your arms around sweet Jesus, you hang on. And she said, I don't know what those people do that can't do that. Unfailing protection. You think of a father and a son. You think of the prodigal son returning to the father. You think of relationships that we know of that have been broken and reconciliation has taken place. And a father wants to protect his children. We see that in the physical realm. How much more does our Heavenly Father want to protect us? Unfailing protection. Joshua 23 verse 6. Therefore, be very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses. And remember, Joshua was he was a right-hand man to Moses. He would have heard Moses telling what he recorded here in Deuteronomy 28. But Joshua says, be courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, lest you turn aside from it to the right hand or to the left. Unless you go among the nations, these who remain among you, you shall not make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause anyone to swear by them. You shall not serve them nor bow down to them, but you shall hold fast to the Lord your God, as you have done to this day. For the Lord has driven out from before you great and strong nations. But as for you, no one has been able to stand against you to this day. One man of you shall chase 1,000, for the Lord your God is he who fights for you, as he has promised you. Therefore, take careful heed to yourselves that you love the Lord your God. When we look at the story of Gideon, and so many people have that Gideon mentality where they think they need thousands of people to do something. And God taught Gideon a lesson where he kept whittling down the number of men for the battle because he did not want the people to put their faith in numbers. He wanted the people to put their faith in God. We are a small number here, but we are mighty in God. Unfailing protection. Well, we see a prosperous work. Verse 8, the Lord will command the blessing on you in your storehouses, in all which you set your hand. So godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of the life that now is. We noticed that again this morning in 1 Timothy chapter 4. But reject profane and old wives' fables and exercise yourself toward godliness. Bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having a promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance. For to this end we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those who believe. These things command and teach. But a prosperous work, the Lord will command the blessing on you in your storehouses and in all which you set your hand. Again, a physical parallel. He's going to bless us in our storehouses. He's going to bless us spiritually when we exercise ourselves toward godliness. Bodily exercise, it does profit a little, but it's temporary. It's temporary. But godliness, that's profitable for all eternity. He's going to make our work prosperous. The Christian's life is like a tree planted by the rivers of water. The roots of his being lie buried in God himself as the source of all of his sufficiency, so there is no unwithering prosperity. So when we think about that tree in Psalm 1 being planted by the rivers of water, you think of that river of water being God and God's word. And we need to be planted in God's word. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. That tree brings forth its fruit in its seasons, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. So you take a small seedling, a small tree, you plant it by a source of water that's going to nourish it, where it can get its roots into that water, it's going to grow. It's not just going to grow, it's going to leaf out. It's not just going to leaf out, it's going to bear fruit. And that, friends, is the Christian. We are to have our roots in Christ. We are not just to grow, we are to grow and leaf out. And we are not just to leaf out, we are to bear fruit. Well, notice a fourth blessing. We have abiding fellowship. The Lord shall establish you as a holy people unto himself. I find this one interesting and also encouraging. Verse 9, the Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, just as he has sworn to you. If you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways, then all the peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. Why would all the peoples of the earth be afraid of Jehovah? Because he is God. He is the one true God. And unfortunately, people today are not afraid of God. They do not have that reverence. They do not have that fear. Even some people that call themselves Christians in the church, they are not afraid of God. We need to have a fear. Joshua, back to Joshua again. Joshua chapter 2, verse 8. Now before they lay down, and this is when they came to the house of Rahab the harlot, she came unto them on the roof and said to the men, I know that the Lord has given you the land, that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you, for the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. The words of this harlot, Rahab the harlot. The people of the land are faint-hearted because of you. Their hearts melted. And why is that? Because God, Jehovah, they heard about when the Israelites left Egypt that Jehovah dried up the water of the Red Sea. When these slaves came out of Egypt, they defeated the king of the Amorites who were on the other side, Sihon and Og. They didn't just barely beat them, they utterly destroyed them. And when the people heard this, their hearts melted. And friends, that's the God that we serve. We serve that same God that worked these miracles, that proved himself. And we need to have that confidence. We need to have that obedience in serving him, and he will bless us. Friends, we're called by his sovereign grace. We are separated by his cleansing blood. We are established in his risen son. He didn't leave his son in the grave. He was raised from the dead. He reconciled unto himself. He transformed into his own image. Our fellowship with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. This is where our fellowship is. With them, when we are obedient to him, in doing what he says, and in continuing in being obedient. Built up in him and established in the faith, Colossians 2:7. 2 Corinthians 1:21, he who hath established us in Christ is God. He wants to bless us. People, when people say, you believe in that God that sends people to hell. Friends, God doesn't want to send anybody to hell. But people choose to go there because they are not obedient. Again, it's obey and there's blessings. Disobey and there's curses. Every soul so established belongs to the established church of God. When we are built up in God and added to the Lord's church, we need to abide in him. And the gates of hell, the gates of Hades, shall not prevail. Well, there's a powerful testimony. All the people shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord. Verse 10. Those called by his name are to be ruled by him. If we are called by God, we are to be ruled by God. And if the Lord rules over us and in us, then the Savior of his name, Christ, is this ointment that's to be poured out. The name of the Lord upon us implies his life and character in us. This life, which is the light that lightens the path of sinners in their search of salvation. And we are to let our light so shine before men that they will see our good works and glorify the Heavenly Father. The blessings of the obedient. If the Lord rules over us and in us, then the Savior of his name will be poured forth. The name of the Lord upon us implies his life and character in us. And this is his life and character, is this light that shines. We see a sunset like this, and we are amazed. People should see that light of God, that light of Christ in us, and not be amazed at us, but be amazed at God and give him the honor and glory. Well, we see an abundant supply. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure. In verse 12. Back in verse 11, the Lord will grant you plenty of goods in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, and in the produce of your ground, the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open to you his good treasure, the heavens, to give rain to your land in its seasons, and to bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. When we are obedient to God, we are going to have an abundant supply. Who shall ever be able to exhaust the unsearchable riches of Christ? When the Lord opened for us this treasure, He opened our supply for time and eternity. You know, we might have a lot of money in the bank, and then what happens? We spend all that money, and then it's gone. Our supply is gone. Who will ever be able to exhaust the unsearchable riches of Christ? He has everything. Whatever we need, He is able to give to us. When all the created streams are dried, when all the rivers, if they dried up, if there is a drought, His fullness is the same. I will with this be satisfied and glory in His name. The physical, the spiritual. God is the fount of every blessing to the obedient. And lastly, we see a special honor. And the Lord will make you head and not the tail. You shall be above only and not beneath. If you need the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and be careful to observe them. He's going to give us a place of special honor because we are obedient to them. And He throws in this little warning here, be careful. Be careful and observe them. So we see a blessing of material comfort, a blessing of unfailing protection, a blessing of a prosperous work, a blessing of abiding fellowship, a blessing of powerful testimony, a blessing of abundant supply, a blessing of special honor. What do we have to do to have those blessings? We have to be obedient to His word. And again, not obey it out of duty or out of dread, but because we want to. Because He's the source of everything. He's created everything. He sustains our life. He's going to bless us richly. We are here for just such a short time. And there is no God like Him. Our hearts, just like those in the inhabitants of the land of Canaan, should melt when we think about God and His power and what He is able to do. Friends, have you obeyed God? Have you been obedient to His word? If not, why not do that right now, tonight? Why not do it now as we come forward and stand and sing?